Welcome to the Round 18 Supercoach Coach podcast. And this week, I've got Mark joining me for the podcast again.
G'day, Marcus. How you going, mate? Sorry I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, Mark. But since you've last been on...
Nothing's happened with your team.
Yeah, nothing's happened with my team. But we've taken the number one league ranking.
Number one for the last couple of weeks. About 5 weeks to go, 6 more rounds to go. Hopefully we can hold on. It's been a pretty tight battle up top. It's been a pretty good battle all year. We've also got the number four league as well. So
I think two more in the top 20. How's your actual team going, Mark? So I went from 128th to, I think, 125th to now 126th over the last couple of weeks. Scored 24-44 for the round, so... Everybody had pretty big scores. Dangerfield, Selwood, Kennedy, a lot of the popular picks led the way. Let down by a few players that probably stopped me moving up in the rank a bit, and those were Roughhead, looking at you, not happy after his big 180. Goddard out probably hurt my team a little bit because I already am one short in the midfield department. I only have 7 primo mids, so... Yeah, hoping to move up in the rankings again next week, continue that upward trend with Goddard back, hopefully. Unfortunate news for both of us, though, and something that we're going to talk about during the show. Andrew Walker, Mark.
No!
We're so low with trades, and to be hit by Ablett last week and Walker this week.
And we put up with all these shitty scores because he's been injured, and then he missed a week, and now... Gone for the year. Not the greatest pick of my season, Andrew Walker. Got a bit of a bung knee, guys. I scored 24.92 on the weekend, which took me up to 483. Pretty sure that's my first time in the top 500 this year. Yeah, so that's a pretty good result, really. Especially after, I mean, I was like 65,000 after week 3 or something. So it's been a grind to get right up there. I'm not too confident of staying very highly up with Walker out and limited trades. I don't have quite the bench that you do, mate, so might struggle a little bit. The biggest thing for me the last 2 weeks is I brought JPK in 2 weeks ago for Higgins and made him captain, and he scored 77.
Ouch.
Disappointing. And then this week, Pendle's captain, lowest score of the year, 93.
Ouch.
So obviously Gary being out is going to be seriously painful for my team because I have no idea how to pick a captain, and that's going to probably be my downfall for the year. Otherwise, I'd be a lot higher up at the moment. But yeah, had a couple of good weeks, and go Bombers. Bombers coming off 2 good wins. Went to Adelaide a couple of weeks ago, hung out with Dunny over there. He was a very good host for myself and my wife. Got us some awesome tickets to the footy and watched the Bombers beat his beloved Port Adelaide. That was a very fun experience.
Yeah, you've had an exciting couple of weeks, Mark. Although your team may be low on trades, last year I do remember you trying to catch me while I was low on trades, and I was running rookies on field, and they just so happened to, you know, knock out hundreds at the right time. So
yeah, I'm not lucky like you are, mate.
Hopefully, a little bit of luck comes your way. Anyway, we'll get on to the questions for the week. As we mentioned, main topic will be Walker, but we'll also be looking at Mitchell, who's at 410K, just bottomed out this week. So we'll start off first up with a question from Footy Funk. And he's asking us what the names of our Supercoach teams are. So,
Good question. Mine's pretty obvious. I am FB Donkey SCC with a space in the middle. I think I've been using that name for probably 5 or 6 years now. Yeah, it's always been like that. And yours is pretty easy as well, Marcus.
Yep, it's Supercoach Coach. So just one word, pretty easy to find. Or you can just start, you know, at the top of the rankings page, and you only need to flick back a couple of pages and you'll find me.
You have to go a little bit further for me. I think my name's the same as my Twitter handle, so that probably makes it easier.
Yeah. So now that you can find us, we'll move on to the next question. And it's from Blair Dewsbury. And he's asking about the best option for Andrew Walker, Mark. So 436,000. Let's look at options that are around his price range and then maybe who you think the best scoring options would be for Walker.
In a sense, it's a really good week for him to go down because there's the best option available in Mitchell, and Mitchell's cheaper than him. Like, I couldn't, if you don't already have Mitchell, you didn't already have a plan to get him in, it couldn't be easier this week.
At 9, of course, in round 7, and only just cycled out 103 the last round, and
looked real good. Second game, most players struggle. He looked good.
Yeah, and Hawthorn need midfielders to stand up, and Mitchell's the guy to do that for Hawthorn. So hopefully he can win some points in the back end for you.
I think that the other two options, mate, that are cheap, that are serious premiums, Hibbard and Simpson, that have both been over the 500,000 mark. I think Simpson got up to like 600,000 at one stage. Hibbard's 445 back this week after missing a couple of weeks with an ankle, and Simpson's 421. I mean, he's dropped off a fair bit, but they both seem probably the other two obvious options.
I think I prefer Hibbard to Simpson. Like you mentioned, he was out for a while with that ankle.
He did it in the Adelaide game. He had an awesome first half, did it probably the start of the third quarter, I think, and then came back on and played out the game. I presume he had injections and played really, really well at the end of that game, and then played the Cats game as well. But then he's had the two wins off since then. Yeah, they said that they gave him an extra week because he was struggling a little bit with his liftoff for training last Thursday, and he should be right to go this week. And Bombers looking in pretty decent form. So, yeah, I think I'd take Hibbert as well. I think the thing to think about, though, is with these defenders, we've seen Simpson up to 600,000 and now he's all the way down. What often happens with these guys is that they don't go back down to 400 and then just sit there for the rest of the year. They actually hit another patch of good form. So you can kind of be really surprised about the scoring patterns coming out of these defenders. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Simpson average 105 for the rest of the year.
And Simpson's score is particularly low because he had that nightmare game where he scored only 32. And that cycled out only one round ago, but he hasn't had any particularly huge games since then. So his price hasn't really gone up since then. So 420 is really, really good value. So I only prefer Hibbert because he's in my team. So maybe if you didn't have him.
I prefer Hibbert as well. I think it's partly to do with the Bombers' draw.
Okay. Yeah, they're playing great footy as well. So better than Carlton anyway. They'll win more share of the points. So move on to the options that maybe are the highest scoring in the land. Who do they look like to you?
Malcheski's probably the one that's gotten away for me. 560,000 now and didn't get on him. Hanley as well got away, but he's sort of pretty up and down and has those big games, like huge games, and then the lower games. And Duffield, who is a Supercoach premium in the past and 3-round average over 100. So, I mean, he's been in a bit of form as well, over 500, but I think I'd prefer just the cheaper guys. I just couldn't see myself finding a reason to pass up Mitchell this week. I would only be considering someone else if it was a second trade.
Yeah, just lock in Mitchell if you don't have him. And I'm considering trading in Mitchell, even though he's only an upgrade from Hodge. And that's just because Mitchell's such a gun. If he scores 140, you want to have him in your team for 412K.
You are thinking of making a trade from Walker to Mitchell, which would put three premiums on your bench. Is that right?
No, just two. Because it's a side swap. Before that, I could have done, the plan was actually to do Taylor to Mitchell, which I could afford this week. That would have brought me to three, but damn you, Walker, throwing a spanner in the works.
Because you just need 30 premiums in your team.
Yeah, I probably pushed it too far this year, Mark. Truth be told, I should have gone for an eighth true premium midfielder in hindsight, which we've been advocating on the show, luckily.
Well, I have.
Yep. All right, we'll move on to the next question. He's just asking about Brody Smith, so we'll just get your quick thoughts.
Love him. Brody Smith's a gun. Getting a bit more attention now. Adelaide do have a pretty good draw coming up. He seems to be able to handle the tag fairly well. I know the Bombers, I think we put Heath Hocking on him like as the number one tag in their team. And I think he still scored a 95 or something in that game. So very, very impressed with Brody Smith and his kicking ability.
But you would still not pass on Mitchell, I'm guessing.
I mean, Mitchell was running it as a $550,000 defender, legitimately, because he's a midfielder and he's only $410,000. And he plays for the Hawks, and he's going to have some down games, but he's probably got some 130s in him from here as well. I wouldn't be passing up Mitchell for anyone.
All right, next question is from Graham Bennett, and it's asking about the actual trade-out target. So if you didn't have Walker, obviously, you know, we've been talking about Mitchell. Mitchell's so attractive that you'd still want to bring him in this week at his bottomed-out price. So Graham's asking about whether to trade out somebody like Suckling, which would leave him with Giorgio and Cutler as cover and obviously more cash in the bank. Mm-hmm. Or should he trade out somebody like Cutler to Mitchell, and he has the cash to do that, that gives him Suckling as that defensive premium in on the bench, but obviously he'll have less money to deal with, you know, any potential injuries that come about. What do you think he should do in that scenario?
I was having this discussion with my wife last week about her team, because she, very similar situation, and we're talking about who was going to replace Ablett for her. And she basically saved enough money so that she could go Cutler to Mitchell this week. And I'm presuming that's what she'll be doing, so that she can move that extra premium to the bench in defense. And that seems like an awesome move to me. If you've got like a Cutler-Buse bench, that's a huge weak point going into the last 5 weeks of the season, because we know defenders miss. We know that they miss 1 week. If you can get Cutler up to Mitchell, which is only, it's 190,000, so it's a fair bit, and you'd want to have the money, or you'd have to be double trading in order to do it. But I think that that's a really good move, even if it means moving a Jentsch, Bob Murphy, Suckling type to the bench. Because quite often they're not actually going to be playing on the bench. They will be getting games.
absolutely agree with you there, Mark. If you have a premium on your bench, you can probably afford to have that one less trade as well. So, but as long you're not too low on the scale, I think as long you have probably more than two trades, you'd be happy to keep trading Cutler to Mitchell in that scenario.
So if you had three trades left, would I trade Cutler to Mitchell if I had like Buses from my other persons, I got no cover and I had the money? Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, but if you had two, probably not, right?
Yeah, yeah. Only idiots would go down to one trade.
All right, next question is from Aussie Yielders from Twitter, and he's asking who to trade out for Mitchell as well. He's got Jentsch, McDonald, Shenton, and Miles. So the reason we brought this up is because we've had some questions about Miles. So he's at 440K.
What an awesome pick he was. Really gone on with it. $240,000. It was a weird time of the year. If he came up early in the year, I think a lot of us would have taken him, like we both took Thomas Marcus from Richmond, who played his very similar role. Massive ball winner. If he's a ninth midfielder, I'd be just sticking back with that. And you're going to get some injuries and just enjoy his scores when he does come onto the ground. And maybe loopholing if you can, I'd be absolutely wrapped.
I guess of the four, Mark, Miles and Jentsch probably have the two highest scoring potentials. So if you're looking to keep scoring on your bench, then probably McDonald and Shenton would be the two to go.
They're the true bench players, I think.
Yeah. If you trade McDonald to Mitchell, you obviously keep that back mid MPP. Whereas if you trade Shenton to Mitchell, you obviously lose it.
McDonald missing on the weekend, probably screaming out for it. But you might just want to wait for teams even, because I know Alan Richardson said that up to a third of his team could be given the 86 this week, and Shenton was the sub, so I'm not sure where he sits in all of that.
Move on to the next question. It's from Andrew Locke, and he's asking about Sandilands. Is he baked and being rested up front? And he's wondering whether or not, if you have the trades, moving off somebody like Sandilands, who's quite a popular player, everybody's picked him and presumably not traded him since the start, is it worth trading him out and picking up a point of difference ruck instead? If you can pick up somebody like, you know, Mumford, who has that potential to, you know, go 120 every week, would you consider that, or is it too sidewaysy?
I guess it depends how many trades you have left. I know a good friend of the show, Hawker, who I think he's been on the show before, he made two big calls this year. One of them was that you should trade Simpson when he was 600,000, and the other one was that you should trade Sandilands 2 weeks ago. The reason being that he'd sort of done a fair bit of work on Sandilands' scoring history in the back ends of seasons, and he's just hasn't produced in the back end of the season for like 5 years. So yeah, I think that maybe there's a fair bit of truth in that, and there's some decent talk that Sandilands won't make the trip to play St Kilda this week. That would be devastating for my team. I know you've probably got cover there, Marcus, but yeah, that got a ton of mean guaranteed donut for me this week. Especially if he's out this week, I don't think trading Sandilands is a completely ridiculous idea, because he has shown form in dropping off at the end of season.
I especially like it for those people who have Martin. If you're able to trade Sandilands out through ideally your midfield, if you can trade him, you know, to your forward line and then swap a Shenton, you know, from your midfield into your forward line and bring Sandilands out through your midfield, you could potentially trade Sandilands out for, you know, a Josh Kennedy. Instead of picking up a premium in the forward line, you actually get to pick up, you know, potentially a Rockcliffe even, you know, he has the potential to go at 124. So if I were looking at trading out Sandilands, I think I'd want to go for the safest bet possible, and I think that would probably be a midfielder.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, I mean, it's almost a straight swap for Robbie Gray, which doesn't sound ridiculous. I'm not sure if I was swapping for a ruckman. I mean, Sandilands is averaging 110. I'm not sure who exactly I'd be swapping for. I mean, do you go for Mumford?
I think the problem is he's already dropped in price. He's at 500K, so you don't gain value from swapping him to another ruck.
Max value like you were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's it. So if you traded him to another ruckman, you'd be paying for that upgrade. You'd need to have that crash somewhere. And, you know, if that ruckman gets injured, that's potentially painful. So
and like looking at the rucks, I mean, Goldstein, Mumford, Lobby, Minson, Ryder, Marek, Nick Nat, I don't necessarily think that Sandilands is going to score less than any of those guys on the run home, even not at dominant form. So there's no obvious choice to who to move to.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with that as well. All right, next question is from DaveyC28 on Twitter, and he's asking about Motlop, Mark. Yeah, it's been scintillating.
Kicked our ass in that last quarter. Can you just clear something up for me, Marcus? That last quarter against the Bombers, He was down on the ground. He was out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. He was crying. He was calling for the stretcher. And so we took the tagger off him, and then he comes on and kicks two match-winning goals, buddy bananas around the corner, and wins in the game. What's the go there, mate?
Yeah. Bit of acting paid off, clearly. He's a bit of a singer, too, on our Cats channel. So multi-talented, Ma. Multi-talented. he has been scoring insanely well. I started, obviously, poorly. 67, 55, 72, those sorts of scores, because he had a limited preseason with his knee. Obviously, went overseas, got all that cleaned up. And then last 5 weeks, 112, 105, 98, 124, 147. Huge, huge, huge. And he's in only 5,000 teams, and he's 500K at the moment. Do you think that's potentially some value there?
If he wasn't totally acting in the Essendon game, there's some threat of some sort of injury in the run home on Motlop. I'd probably be maybe considering him for next year as moving into that premium category going into next year. Probably not someone I'd seriously consider for this year. Do you think differently to that?
I think he's probably too risky at 500K. I'd like to think that as a Geelong supporter, he can continue doing well. But Motlop could potentially be tagged if he continues like this anyways for too much longer. So
the Bombers had Hocking on him for most of the game. So
yeah, probably a pass. Next question is from Daniel M. He's asking about Ruffy. So he's another player that I mentioned already. This show is frustrating me. Would you keep or trade, Mark, if you're in our situation?
2 weeks ago, a good friend asked me, should he trade Ruffy to Parker? I said, no way, you don't have enough trades left. So he didn't do it the first week and it cost him 70 points. He did it the second week and he got like 50 points. So I still would have said no the second week to it, but he got a lot of points out of it. So what do I know?
The one thing I can say is that it's not been absolutely god-awful, his scoring. 68 is obviously pretty poor, but, you know, 70s, 80s otherwise. He's not putting in those, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s over the last few rounds. So as long his poor games aren't too bad, his big games like those 184s should help make up for it. The risk with trading out Rough Ed is that after you trade him out, he kicks 10 goals and that really hurts. So I think I'd lean a bit toward Mark as well and say probably hold on. But, you know, with these sorts of things, especially these side swaps, it's very much you have to make that gut call and be happy with it yourself. So like Mark said, if you think the time's right to go to Parker, can't really begrudge you.
Yeah, probably a keep though, unless you've got bucket loads more trades than I do.
And the last question, how good were the Mighty Bombers on the weekend?
That's a good question. Normally you chuck in a question that makes me look like an idiot at the end, mate. The Bombers were bloody fantastic in the weekend. Their defensive pressure and the way that they played as a team, especially defensively, was outstanding. Great to see Courtney Dempsey really buy in, and just the spectacular things he's doing now with the tackles rather than taking bounces down the wing. And could see Carlisle and Hurley in form, and lots to be excited about with three of our best five players out on the weekend and two of them coming back this week. Every game's a big game from here, though, because we dropped probably a couple of ones that we should have won, and yeah, we're still going to be struggling to make the eight.
I think it was a good round for both of our teams. You went from 10th to 7th, and we went from 5th to 4th, the Cats. So
you guys just relying on Port's capitulation.
Yeah, very surprising. Richmond, what's going on?
Richmond have been in okay form lately, but come on, Port, like they were a top four, they were a top two team.
It's just stunning what's happening. All right, I think that wraps up this week's show, Mark. It's just running out of topics to talk about each week.
Still managed to fill the airtime, mate.
Catch you later, mate. Yeah, all the best for this week's trades, and we'll catch you again next
trades.
Week.
You're funny.
See ya.
See ya.